Well, you guys, another Derby is gone. You watched that last night. You watched it. You guys all watched the Derby? Julie, I didn't see you raise your hand. You watched the Derby, right? Okay. Oh, okay. That was exciting to watch that last night. We're newer, like we said, we're newer to Kentucky. It's been almost 5 years now, but it's fun. And we did a last-minute get-together with some friends. We didn't have much time, nothing. The kids all said, I want to do a Derby thing. And so we had a little get-together last night, more impromptu type get-together. Who thought the original winner should stay the winner? Raise your hand. Who thought that the loser won? No, I'm kidding. Now, who thought that number two place should have been the winner? Anybody? Oh, interesting. Okay, huh, okay. Let me just pray you guys for God's word today, that God would speak to us, that wherever we are at in our lives with God, that he would touch our lives today, because his word is living and it's powerful. It can change our lives. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for everyone here today. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us through your word, that your word is living and powerful. It will not return void, but it shall accomplish for which you've sent it. And I pray, Lord, today as we talk about love, that, Lord, you'd pour forth your spirit and teach us to love as your son loved. So we thank you, and we just invite your spirit in a fresh way through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, I think it's the next 2 weeks, I'm finishing the series, Lord willing, Learning to Love. But before I continue this series, I want us to remember, I just want to refocus for a moment again upon what Jesus said in John 13 in verse 34. Where Jesus said to his disciples that last night before he was to be betrayed and to be crucified, he said this to the disciples, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I, just as I have loved you. And for a moment, I want to focus on the last six words of this verse where Jesus said, just as I have loved you. Do you guys realize that we are to love as Jesus loved? Think about that. We are commanded by Jesus, by our Savior, Sanctifier, and Healer, and Coming King, to love just as Jesus loved. This whole series is grounded on that truth, that we are to love one another. And if you recall also Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, remember right after the famous love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, the very first two words of 14:1 says, pursue love, go after love, seize love, take hold of it, track it down, go for it, which tells us that it may not always be something that just easily happens, but we need to go, we need to prioritize. Mainly in our culture, we need to do that, or we just get so busy in our circle of friends, and we come to our Sunday morning service, and we think that's church, when you are the church if you're here or not. This building is not the church. You are the church, and we're commanded to love all week, not only in a two-hour segment on Sunday mornings, right? We are commanded to love as Jesus loved. Are you intentionally loving one another? Are you, and here's a real heart-searching question, are you a hearer of God's word? Or are you a doer of God's word? I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, how often I've heard messages, I've gone to services, I've gone to other churches, and I've been inspired, and I go, and I'm excited, and by the end of the week, I'm off living my life again. Am I a hearer of God's word, and I like to be inspired, or am I a true doer of God's word? Because over the last 2 months, as I've been talking about love, we've seen how Jesus loved. We saw how Jesus made time for his disciples, right? He spent quality time with his disciples. We saw how Jesus used words of affirmation to build up people and to build up his disciples. And we saw him do that with Peter. When Peter says, "You are Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus just says, "Hey, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and you, Peter." And he starts going and just affirming Peter and the calling that God had on his life. And last week we saw how Jesus showed and received physical contact, physical touch as a way to express love. And as some of you guys may know or not, we've been kind of using for fun, the five love languages, right? And we've been going through the different love languages, how Jesus perfectly loved in all the five love languages. And we've been seeing how Jesus has been doing that. So here's the question before we get into this next love language. Are we loving as Jesus loved? Are we pursuing love? But the next love language that I want to focus on today is the love language of giving of gifts. But before I do this, I just want to share and kind of lay a little foundation for this gift. And I want to share and illustrate, I believe, the fullest expression of this love language we see in the Bible as a foundation for how we can learn to love through the giving of gifts. And I was thinking this week, and I was thinking about that story in Genesis. We are introduced to a man that God had a plan for his life, and God came to this man and said, "I want you to leave your country and your family, and I want you to go to this land that I've called you to go to, and I'll give it to you," and all this. And we see where Abraham goes, and God blesses his obedience. Not only does Abraham have a beautiful wife, he goes into Egypt and all these people are, "Wow, she's beautiful." He has a beautiful wife, but God just protects him. God leads him. God makes him wealthy. And you see a man who's kind of having to go into a foreign country and God's hand is upon him. And not only does he come into this foreign country, but God says, "I'm going to give you a son," ultimately. And after 14 years from God's promise, at last, after all this waiting, he has a wife who's barren, who can't have children, he has a son, the son of promise, Isaac. And now, wow, you can imagine Abraham having a son after 14 years of waiting. His wife's old, it's a miracle, God came in, fulfilled his promise, and now he has a son, Isaac. The apple of Abraham's heart and life. But what's interesting is we come to Genesis 22. And one morning, God appears to Abraham, however he tells him, and says, "You know what? I want you to go take your son and put him on the altar." I don't know about you. When you read the story, we don't see the emotion. We don't see his face. I can just only imagine what Abraham's thinking. It says immediately, he rose immediately that early that morning, and so it must have been that night. God, so he rose up early in the morning, boom, he immediately walked in obedience. But I bet you it was an agonizing obedience of, "Lord, I'm doing it, but what? You promised me that I'll have, you know, as many descendants like the star, and you're telling me to go and do this thing that's incredible. My son? The son you promised me?" And you can imagine him just going on this journey. So he goes on a 3-day journey until God points out the place where he's to build the altar and sacrifice his son. And so he leaves the servants there and he goes and he begins to go there. And then his son comes up with such, you know, they gather the wood, the fire, and they're going. And his son looked kind of just all of a sudden puzzled, and he asks his father, in Genesis 22, verse 8, and just before that, he says, "Hey, Father, you know what? We have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And then we see in Genesis 22, 8, where Abraham says this, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering."
unbeknown to Abraham, Isaac was not the one supposed to die that day. Even though Abraham did make the altar, even though Abraham did bind his son, even Abraham took the knife and to walk in obedience to slay his son, Isaac was not the one that God had chosen to sacrifice. And in that same area, Jesus himself came and was the greatest gift that God the Father could ever give to us was his son. So today, as we talk about gift giving, God is a pro. He gave his son. And when I really think what God gave, he gave his son to die in our place. So that's the greatest gift of all. And then he just doesn't stop giving. Not only did he die for our sins, but now he's adopted us as a child of God. He's forgiven us of everything. We're his child now. And now he's given us spiritual gifts, and his blessing, his love, and everything is focused on us. What a great gift. Paul describes it this way in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God was the ultimate gift giver. And as we talk about giving the gifts to one another, you know what? We were created in the image of God. We want to give gifts because God loves to give gifts. For every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of light, from whom there is no shadow of turning, no variance or shadow of turning. We serve a gift-giving God, and we're in his image, and he's wanting us to learn to express love through, one of the ways, is through giving of gifts. And I want that truth to overshadow when we talk about love, because if we were to walk as Jesus loved, and Jesus is God, the fullest expression of God's love, if we want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, then Jesus say, come. Love as I loved, because he knows how to love, and we are commanded to walk after and to pursue love and to learn to love as Jesus loved. I know, you know, one excuse that people, I imagine, would use in the church. When I think of Jesus and I think of me, I'm going to love like Jesus loved. Are you kidding? But you know one thing that wipes out that excuse? Is you have the Helper and the Holy Spirit inside of you. God lives inside of you. You can't do it by yourself, but you can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that excuse, throw that excuse away. But what you're saying is, oh, even though God's Spirit's in me, I can't do it. Oh, no. As we surrender to him, he can teach us to love as Jesus loved, because the Holy Spirit will remind us of the words of Jesus. He will teach us in the way to go, and we walk in obedience to him. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But you know, it's interesting when you talk about gift giving, and since God is a gift giver, we look at Scripture and we see where we see not only God, but we see people love to give gifts. We see Abraham, if you look in Genesis chapter 14, when you look at some of the different examples in Scripture, you see where Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe from his plunder after rescuing Lot. So he gives him a tithe. He goes and rescues his nephew. He rescues him. He encounters Melchizedek, which is a type of Christ we see in Hebrews. And what does he do? He gives him a tithe, a tenth of all this plunder after saving his nephew Lot. But we also see Abraham's servant when he was sent to find a wife for Isaac. Remember, he comes and he encounters Rebekah, and after they agree to send Rebekah, he gives gifts, not only to Rebekah, right at the well, he gives gifts to Rebekah, but he gives more gifts to Rebekah, and he gives gifts to his family. to Laban and the family? A giving of gifts. In Exodus 36, where they're building the tabernacle, do you remember that? And they're taking offerings from people. And people were so generous for the building of the tabernacle that Moses said, stop, don't give them anymore. They were getting too many gifts of the offering for the tabernacle. Could you imagine living in a community when you ask for something, you have to say stop? People like to give gifts, to give something. If we jump up into the New Testament, of course, the famous story we talk about every Christmas, right? Of the three wise men coming to Jesus, bearing the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We see gift giving there. We also see in Luke 21 where the widow gives her one mite as a gift to God. That's all she almost had. That's all she has in Jesus. And she did not know when she gave that God was there watching her in a physical form. And she's sitting there, and all these guys are throwing all their money in, and Jesus is kind of, And then he sees that widow. And he looks at his disciples, you know what? She gave more than all of that. Her gift. And then we also see in Matthew 14 about giving, where a little boy gives his loaves of bread and fish up. And what does Jesus do? God touches it, blesses it, and it feeds over 4,000 or 5,000 people. And the last one, there's many more examples, but the last one I think of is Luke 19, where Zacchaeus, who encounters God, remember that story I shared about how Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Now, we need to see people and learn to love, right? We need to see them when they come in and don't just kind of, that person's new, whatever. But how Zacchaeus' life was changed when he encountered Jesus. What did he do? He gave half of what he had to give to the poor. His gifts, the giving of gifts. So we could see through these examples in Scripture where people expressed either their love or their devotion through the giving of gifts. And we also see that today, right? We see people give gifts for Christmas, for birthdays. How many here love to receive gifts? Just say that, it gets you excited. Yeah, I do. Oh, Di, you raise your hand? I'm still a kid when it comes to gifts. I like gifts. It's not quite as magical when you're an adult as it was on Christmas when you go there and you don't know what it is and you can't sleep all night and you keep peeking at the gifts, right? But I still like gifts. I mean, you think of a gift, you get something and you receive something without cost. It is an expression of thoughtfulness, of sacrifice. I don't know how my parents did 7 kids. My mom stayed at home to work with the kids. How my dad supplied the Christmas gifts. We'd go there and the whole area would be filled with gifts. I'm like, how did they do it? The sacrifice. Normally a gift is something without strings attached, hopefully. It's not like a sales presentation. Well, if you go with this company, if you do this, we'll give you a free gift. There's strings attached. A gift is free. It's something you give with no strings attached as a way of show love and devotion to someone. Is there anyone here who loves to give gifts? Now, there's something receiving gifts. Loves to give. That's what I like. Loves to give. Okay. My dad, as some of you have met him, he's coming actually, he'll be here for the next couple Sundays. He's coming to help with the kids while my wife goes on a trip by herself without her husband. I'm teasing, but she is going on a trip for her niece's graduation. So I'm a guy, I need help. So my dad's coming. He expresses love through giving of gifts. And I know he's bought me tools, and I'll get this tool for Christmas or something, and I'll tell my wife, oh, yeah, this gauge is for this refrigeration gauges. And I'm like showing my wife how excited I am because it has this and this. And, of course, my wife's like, refrigeration gauges? What do you do with those? Well, you know, I use them at work. And it's this huge new set my dad found and gave me. And my wife's like, oh, I'm glad you're excited. I don't understand what there are, right? My dad loves to give gifts. And it's almost even to his detriment. Because my dad now, back then, he had a business. So he had good money, but he was never good at saving it. So now he's retired, and he doesn't have much money. And every time he seems to come, he'll either go to Sam's or Costco, and he'll go there, and he'll come back with a vehicle full of toilet paper, paper towels, and all these things he thinks we should have. It's a blessing, yes. It helps us out. But we're like, Dad, I know he can't afford it. But he cannot but help express through the giving of gifts. There are some people who especially feel loved when someone gives them a gift. This, like the love language, giving of gifts, it fills their love tank. They feel loved and valued when someone gives them a gift. And I came across this one article that describes this person, quote, "Don't mistake this love language for materialism. The receiver of gifts thrives on the love, thoughtfulness, and effort behind the gift or the gesture that shows you are known, you are cared for, you are prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring the gift to you. A missed birthday would be disastrous. So would the absence of everyday gestures. Gifts are visual representatives of love and are treasured greatly," unquote. You know, I recall years ago, the first time that I know of, where my mom forgot my dad's birthday. And we were living on Whidbey Island, Washington, on a road called Fox Spit Road. Imagine living on that area. We live in Fox Spit. But Fox Spit Road. And we were living in this house, renting this home, and throughout the whole day it was my dad's birthday. Of course, my dad, you know your own birthday. And that night, my mom all of a sudden remembered. My dad's thinking at that time, well, it was a nice meal, but no one's mentioned anything about birthdays. And my mom found something in the freezer, put a candle in it, and we gathered the kids around. We go, oh, happy birthday. And my dad did not buy it. He knew she forgot his birthday. Did it devastate him? No, that's not my dad's love language. His is words of affirmation. And so he was okay with it. But for someone whose love language was receiving gifts, they would have been devastated, not feeling loved or valued. I'm curious, is there anyone here who really feels loved, valued, and cherished when you receive gifts? Okay, stand, keep your hands up for a while. I just want to see who you are. Natalie's like, okay, Bo, honey, see my hand. Okay, we see some. Raise your hands again. I want to see people. Okay, that's good because we're learning about how to love each other. Okay. I just want to tell some stories I came across that illustrate different ways that people have loved through giving of gifts. Let me just share these stories with you. This story was told by a San Rafael from California. Quote, "I was living in California when I found out my grandmother had congestive heart failure and wasn't expected to pull through. She was one of my best friends. I'd lived with her when my dad was overseas in the Army. I always felt like her arms were around me, that I could say anything to her. I made it to Illinois in time to be there the day she died, and when I went to her home to go through her belongings, I found a glass canned jar of pickled beets in the fridge with my name written on the label. I hadn't been there for some time, but I think she somehow knew I'd be with her at the end of her life. I sat down crying and ate the whole jar," unquote. That her grandmother, or his grandmother, thought enough to take time. That was a gift. I'm thinking about it. You know, sometimes when I think of these love languages, I think a lot of them are a great couple together. I think of like affirmation gifts, of a gift with some words of affirmation. How a lot of them you kind of intermingle as we learn to love one another. What a great expression. He will never forget his grandmother and that gift. Here's another story told by a Mary Miller, and she said, "There was a brief period when my siblings and I came home from elementary school to find small presents on our beds. Our mother called them happies. One time there was a sticker book and three or four sheets of stickers, the good kind, that were sparkling or puffy or scratch and sniff. My favorites were the shiniest, most delicious things. Ice cream cones, squishy and pink sundaes topped with whipping cream with a single cherry. We didn't know what had sparked the happies. But now that I'm older, I realize they must have arrived around the time when money became a concern. Those small gifts were proof that things were okay," unquote. Another story by Gillian McLeod, quote, "On my 19th birthday, my best friend and roommate Sierra gave me a copy of The Joy of Cooking. I'd moved away from home at the age of 16 and been living with Sierra for a couple years. She saved up tips from her restaurant job to pay for the book. It inspired the start of my love of cooking and was a true mark of independence. I'm still moved each time I read the inscription on the inside cover, 'You're like a sister to me, XO, Sarah.'" You see kind of the words of affirmation in the gift giving of gifts, where she sacrificed her tips. She didn't have a lot of money. Sacrificed tips to save up for that book. It's not, if I remember correctly, it's not a very cheap book either, The Joy of Cooking, to get that book for her roommate. And you know, I liked it. I think I do get from my dad giving gifts. Like with Valentine's Day, I'm the one that tries to plan and get things for my wife and kids. When it comes to Easter, generally, Di lets me run with it because she knows I like to do it. And once in a while, I'll get it right for my wife. Not always, but once in a while. And personally, I recall 3 years ago, like we said, we had our anniversary this last Friday. It was our anniversary. We celebrate last Saturday because we learned that you don't try to celebrate your anniversary on the weekend of Derby if you're going to go out. And about 3 years ago, I made a comment, which I should not have done, to my wife. That, "Hey, love, I was thinking this year we might go away for a night or so to get away for anniversary." And she was excited, but with my wife, you don't say something like that unless you're really going to do it. And I started looking, not realizing it's Derby weekend, and I looked around this area, and I looked over in New Albany, Lexington. I was looking around areas, and it was very difficult to get a decent, affordable hotel. It seems like it was all, like some like double just because it's Derby weekend. So I had to go to my wife and break the news to her and say, "Honey, it's not going to work out." Well, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. You were in the doghouse for a while. How do you get out of the doghouse? So I remember thinking, okay, what can I do to make it? I mean, I can't take her out now. What can I do? And I remembered something my wife said years ago. And, you know, I got her, when we got engaged, you know, I gave her engagement ring. And back then it was okay. It was an engagement and wedding ring. We didn't get to do the two-band thing. And at that season of life, that was okay to do. Well, she did mention one time years ago, "I'd like someday to get a band with the diamonds to complement her wedding ring." So I thought, okay, only way I'm getting out of this doghouse is I'm going to have to do big this year. And I remember at that time she was having her wedding ring repaired. I think the main diamond was kind of shifting. So that was being repaired. So my wife was, before she'd go work, she'd find a ring and she'd throw it on her ring finger so people would know she was married. You have to do that with my wife or these guys going to hit on her, of course. So she does that. And I go and I check out rings and all that. And it came to a night before our anniversary. And I remember one thing about my wife, and she goes through seasons of sleep, but sometimes, man, my wife, I could probably almost push her off the bed and she wouldn't wake up. I mean, there's times in that season of life, she was you could take her hand and go, boop, and, I mean, she would not move. And one way I'd always test before she was asleep, I'd sit there and you could just kind of rub her skin here. And if she's kind of in between, you kind of just kind of move a little bit from the physical touch. So one way I just know if my wife's truly sleeping, just kind of touch her arm a little bit. She's out. Okay, she's out. Now, she may not always be that deep, but she was that deep. So she went out. So I took the finger and I, you know, took the ring and I snuck it on her finger. And she slept. Well, she wakes up. Of course, I'm a little kid all excited. Okay, she's going to notice all morning before we're getting ready, the chaos of a weekday morning. We're all trying to get everything ready. She's around the house. I'm thinking, she's going to go to work and not even notice the ring. Well, she got, and she was getting ready to leave the house. I'm thinking, okay, I'll find out. I'll probably receive a call later. And next thing I know, she goes to her jewelry box to get that ring that she always puts on before work. And she goes, and she looks down, and she's like, oh, is this a joke? And she comes to me almost like, is this a joke? Or no, it's not a joke. I didn't say this, but you know, am I out of the doghouse? I was way out of the doghouse. I made up for that one. But the giving of gifts. Some of us don't care. Some of us, if you get a gift or flowers, why did you waste the money? Are you that way, Crystal? I think I remember Crystal doesn't have flowers. But of course, Crystal's main primary love language would be quality time. Right? But I don't know, my wife seems to almost have like all the love language. She likes gifts, quality time. I mean, man, she has, I mean, I know her primary. And I'll be talking about that next week on acts of service as her primary. And I know that's Julie's too, she was telling me, is acts of service, right? That's my wife. I always joke, I kind of, man, when we were newlyweds, my wife's primary love language was physical touch. Why did that change? Right? I mean, okay. We can always wish, Lord, take her back to the beginning. No, okay. But, so we can see from these different examples and different stories, ways to express love through giving of gifts. But the question that we need to ask ourselves today, are we loving one another here at GCC? Are we loving each other in this expression of love? And you know what? It doesn't have to be expensive. It could be a flower you saw driving down the road and you pick it and you write a little note and say, I'm just thinking about you. I know you're going through a hard time. How have we as a community expressed this love language to one another? How have we spent quality time, say, this last week with someone in our community outside of Sunday mornings? Have we spoken words of affirmation? Have we given someone a hug, as I talked about physical touch last week, showing someone that we love them, that we're there for them? Have we expressed this week the giving of gifts to someone to tell them that we're thinking about them, that they are valuable to us? How have we loved? Have we pursued love this week? What will you do about it? This week, will you be a doer or a hearer? What did James say? What happens to the hearer? They deceive themselves. The doer. What did Jesus say the doer is? He builds their house upon a rock. The hearer builds their house on the sand. You know, the storms come, and great is its fall. How can we love? You guys, and as we go now and we shift, we have the worship team come forward as we shift into our communion. Let's remember, why do we give gifts? Why? Because of Jesus' greatest